some big goings on in the state capitol here as the legislative session is nearing its end. That's when they're going to really get tricky and maybe a little sleazy trying to push through what they want. One of the people who is keeping close watch and who's been down there for about 30 of these legislative sessions is State Senator Mark Schessler. Mark Schessler notices that there are $500 million in what are called non-budget taxes, which I'm sure you'd like to know more about since you would be paying them. Also, this stunning new state audit, and I don't know why it's not getting more attention in the morning papers and media coverage, says that the outlandish, unprecedented fraud losses from the state's unemployment commission, called the Department of Employment Security, could actually be even twice as big as they already were acknowledged to be. We'll get into that in just a moment. But first, Senator Schessler, great to welcome you back to the show. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Good to be back with your listeners.
Okay. I'm sure that people are saying, well, what on earth is a non-budget tax? And how much would it be? And why do I have to pay it? And what do I get for it? All good questions.
That is the one thing that taxpayers miss. We hear about the big stories, the income tax, cap and tax, those things. But the things that hit the everyday consumer, such as a cell phone tax, don't make the headlines. Everybody you know in this world seems to have a cell phone. They're all going to get taxed, and there really isn't.
Wait, they already are. I'm looking at my bill.
In the world of liberals, we are number four in America for taxation of cell phones. Number four out of 50 states. This will put us up to number three, and when the second phase of this cell phone tax in, number two. Liberals are well on their way to being number one in America on cell phone taxes.
Okay, because I see about 8 or 9 separate charges on a smartphone bill already, and they're getting ready to, is it add a new tax or just raise an existing one?
It adds a tax for a good cause, mental health hotline. Now, the so-called experts acknowledge that this will result in fewer 911 calls, which we fund with cell phone taxes already. We have an abundance of money rolling in, but we have a tax going up in December of 20 or in April. Excuse me, an immediate tax going up, and then in 22 a second increase in that tax, generating, you know, $100 million here, $100 million there. Pretty soon you have real money.
And this is, again, they have been, you have to pay attention. It's one of those fine print situations. But if you peer into your, you know, the multi pages of your cell phone bill, you'll see a little section that says more on wireless taxes and surcharges. And then they get into fixed monthly plans to accurately bill taxes and Verizon surcharges. We look at past network usage, and they get into all these different types of fees, you know, at the federal level, at the local level, at the state level that are added. And as you just pointed out, Senator Schessler, we're number four in the country already in cell phone taxes, and we're about to, which is interesting because we were a pioneer in the cell phone industry, Macaw Cellular and the like. And now we're about to go to number three.
That's a fact. And, you know, a lot of money gets moved around, a lot of bait and switch in politics. And this is simply one of them that, yes, it's not the general fund, but it is yet again another tax. And the cell phone tax disproportionately affects young and lower income people. For upper income people, so what? You get into the lower, hardworking, middle class people, it's just one other straw on the camel's back.
Now, I want to get into something that at first glance, I think a lot of our listeners would support. At first glance, I like the idea. And that is a tax cut for working class and poor people. I had been saying, you know, the Democrats keep saying we have an unfair, unequal tax system, but they only seem to want to add taxes, not reduce the tax burden on the people they say are being screwed over by our tax system. So you don't see them suggesting we cut the sales tax or cut the property tax or cut the business tax for small companies. And then we hear about this new tax credit, which seems to operate a little bit like the federal earned income tax credit, and it sails through the Senate 47-2. You were one of the senators who said, no way, bad idea, we should never have gone here. Tell us why.
Well, in my personal case, I looked at it carefully, and it becomes an entitlement, a new entitlement. And that means that you're going to fund it through thick and thin. So if we have an abundant time in the budget, why would we need to cut it? If we hit some low water marks in our economy, well, that's the worst time to cut a lower income person's benefits. So it was a trap that I think I regret that we went there. I would have much preferred tax relief to lower middle income earners, sales tax, phone taxes, excise taxes, perhaps a car tax break. You know, you think about it, low-income people, a car tax is far more challenging than it is for upper-income people.
How about, I don't know, here's a novel idea no one's ever thought of, $30 car tabs.
Well, you know, I think every low-income Washington driver would be better off with a $30 car tab.
Of course.
We can't even have a discussion about $30 car tabs in Olympia.
No matter how many times the people vote for it, they're always outfunded, and they vote for them anyway, and the legislature just ignores them, which gives you an idea of what the legislature is looking like these days. Finally, I've got to ask you about this new performance audit, which shows that the fraud losses at the unemployment agency called the Department of Employment Security were might be twice as high as we thought. Now, we got hit with $647 billion in fraudulent claims. The claims went out to 191,000 criminals, people who were just lying about who they were. And they only clawed about $370 million of that back. But now comes the state auditor saying, well, there's all sorts of other questionable expenses. And again, the person who presided over this disgrace actually got a promotion. Susie Levine was not fired inexplicably last spring or summer. And now she's working for the Biden administration. So tell us the impact of this audit in Olympia. Does anyone care? Will anything be done?
Well, boy, I think I could have an hour of your show to talk about this, John, but I don't think you'll yield it. The situation is amazing. The state auditor did her job and said, you know, it's even worse than we thought. And the ability to bail this out is really above the amount of resources we have, even with everything flowing in. She did her job, and now the job should be for Attorney General Ferguson, now that he's freed up from suing Donald Trump, to get out there and start looking for ways to prosecute the people that really messed up our state at Employment Security.
Do you believe there was criminal, not malfeasance, not ineptitude, but criminal conduct within the Employment Security Department?
I believe you can't rule it out. I'm not an attorney. But when you look at the magnitude of what went on, I think it's a very real possibility that it's crossed a line from ineptness to civil or criminal penalties. And our attorney general has refused to criticize this operation. I think the next step is for the attorney general to put the energy into pursuing this that he did to pursuing Donald Trump for 4 years.
Yeah, no, I mean, a great illustration here of what's wrong in Washington State. The Washington State Attorney General sued Donald Trump, I think, over 70 times. He has shown zero interest in getting to the bottom of what happened with the largest theft in Washington State history at a state agency within the Inslee administration. Again, Bob Ferguson is the state attorney general who's supposed to focus first and foremost on things going on in Washington State, if you wonder why I keep emphasizing that word. So, yeah, there is someone who is simply doesn't want to go there. This performance audit raises more questions, and Senator Schessler puts it perfectly. That should be the headline on every newspaper in the state today. Worse than we thought. Losses from the biggest theft in state history may be hundreds of millions worse than we imagined. So that's where we are. And again, Susie Levine, you know, running a government agency never means having to say you're sorry. She never did apologize. She tried to stiff arm the state auditor. We had a representative from her office come on the show about this. Tried to stiff arm the auditor and not cooperate until the auditor publicly complained, which is virtually unprecedented. Keep in mind, the auditor is an elected Democrat. And still, you know, this is another case where Jay Inslee was just kind of looking the other way, pretending not to notice what's going on. Final word, Senator Mark Schessler.
Well, I think the conversation about Susie Levine, one of my colleagues says she's just waiting to be appointed ambassador to Nigeria. So we'll see if that materializes or not.
Okay. All right. Very good. It's 18 minutes after 7 o'clock. We appreciate you spending some time with us this morning, Senator Schessler.